All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom Arquino, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. Good morning, good morning. It is Tuesday, June 22nd. Hope all is well in the world. I hope all is well in the world. I can tell you in my world, all is well. Everything is good. Can update a few things here. Hold on. All right. I got a WD-40, that thing. That is one squeaky bitch right there. Couple things I shared about a friend who was in the struggle, followed some suggestions, and, you know, whether they're from me or somebody else, they were just suggestions. The same things that were suggested to me when I came in. So, you know, I'm not creating anything new. But it is working. I mean, so far so good, right? I mean, I talked to this person, you know, I have been, and real quick, person's been struggling, you know, made some suggestions to this person. This person's following the suggestions, but I've still been calling this person every morning just, you know, just to check in, just to kind of say, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you, I'm rooting for you. And it's, the great thing is to hear the excitement in this person's voice. You know, there is a relief, there is a calming feeling to getting sober, at least, you know, for the day, right? You know, I said, just hang in there, just keep doing what you're doing, stay in the day, don't think about tomorrow, don't think about the next day, just stay in the moment, right? And that's what's going on, and this person's meeting new people. Went to a sober event at the park. I love it. It's so awesome. You know, like I said, I don't even know. I did a podcast the other day. I don't even know if I posted it. I was like, bleh. But in the podcast, I talked about, you know, you live, you know, in the shit for long enough. You live around the manure long enough. And eventually when you come out and smell fresh air, you think that air is from God. When really it's just air, you know. It's just normal. It's crazy when you get to a point in your life where you live so below normal for so long that when normal does show up, you're like, it's amazing. And I've said, you know, we say this, you know, that's a lot of work being normal. It's a lot of work. And I don't just mean physical, aggressive, you know, do work, show up, son, do work. But I mean a lot of also like, okay, that's fine. No problem. You win. You're right. You know, real, you know, real, more of a humble lifestyle, right? You know, you don't have to show up every day and roll up your sleeves and look for a, you know, to pick a fight or be right. It's like, no problem. No problem. It's, my dad was over the other night and he was telling me something. I'm like, okay, Dad. Well, I mean, really, you know, it's like, like, he's so used to me arguing back at him, you know, especially with this, you know, all the stuff that's going on lately with the, you know, in the between the presidency and the vaccines and, you know, Russia and budgets and blah, 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 blah. You know, my dad, oh, I heard, and it's like I said this the other day, it's all hearsay. And he heard from the guy that cuts his lawn that this is what's going on. I'm like, so this is the guy that cut your lawn told you this, right? So was he at the important meeting where all this was decided? But I'm starting to feel like I just want to go, okay, you know, I don't, if I give an answer other than, okay, Dad, it will be an argument. And take me back 10 years and it would be an evening ending argument. Take me back 5 years and, you know, I think it's more important that we take the high road on this one. But today I'm like, yeah, that's all right, Dad, fine. But the problem that he has is that he likes the argument. He's waiting. And, you know, I'm just not going to engage in that argument. But the point of this story was is that the person is just, you know, enjoying this newfound freedom. And I'm excited. And, you know, but as a friend, I have to remind this person, stay in the moment, right? Stay in the moment. I talked about when I first got sober, driving down the road for the first time sober in a long time, and I was like, wow. You know, but life does eventually start showing up. You know, you quit anything long enough and it feels good, right? I quit dipping. Oh my God, I was on a super buzz, right? I'm like, yes. You know, my wife and I both quit. But a week or so later, and that fucking addiction, man, you'll hear it. They say that, you know, that addiction, whether it's dipping or drinking or snorting or spending or screwing or eating, it's over there in the corner doing them fucking fancy push-ups. Boom, 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 boom. Like, what's flexing the floor over there? You know, I started, sometimes before I go to bed, I'll do push-ups. You know, my wife gets in bed and I'm over there stretching, doing some yoga, and I'll start doing some push-ups. She's like, what the fuck's going on over there? Just push-ups! You know, my fat ass is trying to do a push-up. Or a few. I get up to 50. I'm not completely lost in my mind, but, you know, the floor's flexing. I'm heavy. It's just the whole thing over there. And that's how my addiction is, whatever version of it is. You know, you quit dipping, and that it's like, you know, no one will know. Nobody's going to know. I mean, and then it starts justifying it. You know, you only quit because you said you would because she was going to quit. You really didn't have to. You were fine, right? You don't even do it, though. It's just the whole thing. And it starts to stress on you. And it's like having an odd conversation with any human. You know? It provokes thought, response, emotion. And, you know, it can be tough. And that's the part. That's what this program or the program or a program of your choosing, you know, hopefully is there for when that shows up. And that's what I was, you know, that's what I was telling this person early on. I'm like, don't worry about anything. Just go to a meeting, get a freaking sponsor, and do it every day for a while. Right? You know, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about, you know, the next day. Don't worry about yesterday. Just stay in the moment. And hopefully in that time you can build some sort of friendship, you know, a relationship, some respect with another human, some accountability. You know, this person was telling me, I'm making friends, you know, I'm meeting people, you know. And then I heard, you know, I met this one person I don't particularly care for. So, you know, it's all roses, right? And then eventually you start to find a few weeds in there. But you got to stay, you know, humble and open-minded and, you know, submissive. Is that the right word? You know, you don't need to be dominant. You know, just be like, no. My first year in the program was super passive. Just like, you know, hello, you know, don't ask me to speak. Don't ask me to, you know, I'll make coffee. I'll shake people's hands. I'll collect the money. I'll do whatever you want, but don't ask me to speak. Can we have a deal here? And I remember my sponsor's like, yeah, that's a good deal. Because you have nothing to say. You know, it's not like I can't come out of this going, you know, hey, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to choose not to speak. Yeah, you can. You don't need to speak because you have nothing to say. Like, oh, great. Thank you. But the point of it is that eventually this addiction shows back up. And you want to, you know, and I talked the other day about, you know, admitting that it's okay that you miss alcohol. I remember when I first got sober, I was like, I am never drinking again. Ha! I was so fucking jacked up on pink pills, pink cloud pills, that I was like, I'm never drinking again. Don't even, whatever. Never happened. And my sponsor was like, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Because just when you fucking least expect it, that shit is going to show up. You know, give that disease, that addiction, that love affair, that relationship respect. Know it. Because you put your foot down, you put that, draw that line in the sand, I'll never drink again. Yeah, you might be eating some sand. You might be eating those words, which I eventually did. So my suggestion to this person was find a groove. Find, you know, find people that are counting on you as much as you are counting on this program. Find some people to let down. You know, that would be, you know, and it's not as much now, but back in the day, you know, if I was to think about drinking, I'd be like, oh my God, so many people would be upset. Like, really? I mean, we would be upset, of course, for you. You know, that's a shame. The great thing is you get to start over. But, you know, it's just, you know, but it is what it is. That's why I'm saying, like, stay in the day. Fall in love with these relationships and this freedom. Because one day when that shit does show up, right, you want to be prepared. You don't want to be like, what the hell just hit me?
Because it will be back.
Yes, you do. So to wrap up that little story is basically saying, listen, love being sober, right? Because when that shit shows up, it's going to find every flaw and problem with sobriety that might exist. And it's going to point them all out. It's going to plead its case, and it's going to come coming in hot, right? That disease is going to come back, and it's going to be coming in hot. It's going to be like, you're not having any fun, blah, 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 blah. In the hope and pray that you have built enough of a foundation of friends and relationships and responsibilities and all this stuff that it's going to keep you in the program so that you don't find yourself drinking that vodka. I wanted to, so I have my old 12 steps and 12 traditions. I don't even know where I got this. I don't know if I got it from my grandmother, but I found it. I think I must have got it from my grandmother because honestly, there's some things that have been, you know, there's some writing in it a little bit that isn't my writing. But what I love so much, and it's such, and I think I did the exact same thing. What I love so much about this book is that the first step, step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. How many times have I talked about this? Who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one, of course. Every natural instinct cries out against the idea of personal powerlessness. It is truly awful to admit that glass in hand, we have warped our minds into such an obsession for for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from us. I don't know what providence means, but I'm going to imagine that it has something to do with shame and guilt. Because like I've said before, nothing changes lives like shame and guilt. And I'm imagining that that falls under the umbrella of providence. No other kind of bankruptcy. So this is what I think is interesting. I highlighted stuff in this. And this is typical Tom. You know, I'm serious, right? I'm serious. I do it when I did it in school. Anything that was important, pesticide applicator's license, Maryland home improvement license, drone licensing, whatever bullshit I've ever fucking tried to complete. The first day, the first chapter, the first page is me and a highlighter because that shows that I'm serious. So, of course, here it is, step one, and I've highlighted stuff. And so no other kind, and I'm just reading through this, the step. This is the first step. It says no other bankruptcy, highlighted, is like this one. Alcohol now become the rapacious creditor. So I've highlighted bankruptcy and rapacious creditor. Bleeds us of all self-sufficiency and all will resist its demand. Once this stark fact is accepted, our bankruptcy as going human concerns is complete. So I highlighted bankruptcy, rapacious creditor, going human concerns. Like why? 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 Why did I highlight that? Why? And it's just another kind of silly part of me that feels like as if I'm highlighting something that I really care, right? And if I was going to read those two paragraphs again, who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one, of course. Every natural instinct cries out again in the idea of personal powerlessness. It is truly awful to admit that glass in hand, we have warped our minds into such an obsession of destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from us. If I was going to highlight anything, it would be an act of providence define da-da-da, which I'm sure means some sort of shame and guilt. Let me look it up. Providence. Providence. What does providence mean? Here we go, people.
Here's the definition of providence. The protective care of God or of nature is a spiritual power.
Huh. The protective care of God or of nature has a spiritual power. Wow. Shit. Wow. The protective care of God or of nature as a spiritual power. Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's not what I thought. So I would have highlighted the wrong thing. But basically what it's saying is you better have God on your side. You better surrender. You better find some fucking humility or you got no chance. Unfortunately, you know, it usually takes like handcuffs, broken glasses, you know, stitches, whatever, to open our mind up a little bit. Or at least that's what it was for me. It says, no other kind of bankruptcy is like this one. Alcohol now becomes a rapacious creditor. Bleeds us of all self-sufficiency and all will to resist its demands. Once this stark fact is accepted, our bankruptcy as going human concerns is complete. But upon entering AA, we soon take quite another view of this absolute humiliation. Yeah. So I guess all those words that I had just read basically means absolute humiliation. Ego devastation, right? We perceive that only through utter defeat are we able to take care our first steps towards liberation and strength. Our admission of personal powerlessness finally turns out to be firm bedrock upon which happy and prosperous lives may be built. You know, If I would have like read this when I first got sober, or if I was trying to find out, well, what do I need? What, you know, what needs to happen for me to get sober? None of this would have made any sense. Punch me in the face, split open my lip, make me get 7 stitches, and not want to fucking share my story to my friends at work. You know, that should maybe have been written down, right? But this to me is the nice way of saying it. You know, where is it? What did it say? Oh, yeah. But upon entering AA, we soon take quite another view of this absolute humiliation. It is that. right? It is that. I'm, you know, the life, when was this? I don't know, when was it, 58? The life of an alcoholic back when this program was first started compared to the life of an alcoholic today is just, you know, can be different. I guess in some ways it can be absolutely the same, you know, the insanity. I was looking at how it says, you know, on the next step, step two. Or no, here. Yeah, no, step two. Where is it? You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, one of the big things about restoring myself to sanity was basically having a conversation with people, talking, you know. I remember my buddy Matt used to say, share your problems, it'll cut them in half, right? You know, if you walk the streets and you talk to yourself and constantly running the problems that you're going on, have going on in your life through your own head and not out with anybody else, you will fucking go insane. I mean, it happens to me. You know, I'll find myself in this, you know, it's like the someone left the drain, the water running in the drain, and it's just constantly fucking going down like a tornado, spinning and spinning. And that's what, it doesn't end, it's just continuous. And that's that can happen to me. You know, if I got something going on and I can't, like I'll just revert back to old behavior and just dwell on it, you know, and rummage it, rummage through it and say it over in my head and talk about it. And you start to lose your mind. And my buddy Matt used to say, when you have issues like that, talk about them. Share it with somebody. You know, it cuts it in half. It puts some sunlight on it. It exposes it. And, you know, so when you start, and it talks about that, you know, it says right there. It says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So coming to believe for me is when I actually started to try. You know, I talked about it when I had that medical office, you know, and the person that I did it with, you know, basically went rogue, and I was completely powerless, and I was insane, and I had to start really using my higher power and saying, you know, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over. It was this act of it, this, you know, as embarrassing, as much shame as it was that I'd even gotten myself into this position, I had to start saying it because I believe. I have come to believe that if I say something out loud, if I recognize that I'm stressed out, if I point out that I'm struggling to a higher power, meaning, you know, not in my head, out loud, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. That's the prayer. If I believe, and I've come to believe that if I say this out loud and recognize that I'm not the most powerful person, I'm actually very, very low on the power pole, it cuts my problems in half. I've done it. I've practiced it. I've come, by practicing it, I have come to believe that if I do this, and that's not, dear Lord, oh my God, shit ain't going my way, fix it. Not done rightly. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning it over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning it over to you. I'm recognizing that I can't fix it. I'm recognizing that it's too big for me. It's too big for me. I mean, if I'm powerless over something, it's too big for me. You know, it's like a boulder. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we used to go, you know, I lived in Albuquerque, and man, I loved one of the, and this might sound a little insane, but one of the fun things we used to love to do. And if you've ever lived in a foothills or, you know, at the base of a mountain range or something, you know, and you go up into the foothills and you start to explore the old caves and the rocks. And one of the great things you find are these, like, boulders, right, teetering on nothing. You're like, what the fuck? What's holding this fucking boulder here? And, you know, you get a few friends and, you know, you push it. But if you have a boulder and you're by yourself and you can't, and it's too big, you're powerless, right? There's not a power in you that's going to move this freaking boulder. So you have to recognize, right? You have to go online. I need help with this boulder. My hands aren't wide enough. My shoulders aren't big enough. My legs aren't strong enough to push this boulder. People show up. You know, I've come to believe that if I ask and if I recognize that I can't do it and I ask for help, and I don't, you know, there is a, I told this to somebody the other day. I may have said it on the podcast. You know, people like to participate with people that like to participate, right? So what that means is I don't even really have to ask for help. If I recognize out loud that I can't do this, if I recognize that I'm not strong enough, I recognize that I don't have what it takes, people show up. I don't even have to ask. And that's kind of how I think my relationship with my higher power is. I don't ask. Don't ask. Stop asking. I remember when I was first got sober and I was, dear Lord, get me out of this fucking court case. Dear Lord. And shit, went to court. Guilty. You know, fines. Guilty. The Lord didn't help me with anything. Right? But now it's like, you know, hey, I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm just turning it. I'm just saying it out loud. You know, I'm ready for whatever comes my way. I'm just recognizing that I am fearful and my shoulders aren't big enough and I'm turning it over. And the Lord comes and helps me. You know, I don't know how. You know, and if you're hung up on the Lord, then my higher power comes and helps me, or my humility comes and helps me, or something helps me. Or I'm just fucking putting some sunshine on the negativity and it leaves. Maybe my peace and serenity is a byproduct of bullshit leaving my life. I personally think that's it. You know, spiritual awakening is not something I found. It's the removal of a bunch of other shit and that's what was left. The spiritual awakening, the spirit that had always been there. You know, a relationship with the higher power, it's always there. If I choose to use it, then I can see that it's there. How are we doing on time? Oh, boy. Time's a ticking. Providence. That's interesting. The protective care of God or of nature as a spiritual power. Interesting. Who knew? Let's see. Let's read the... daily reflections. Daily reflections. Here we go. I hope everyone, does this make sense? I hope everyone's having a great day. I hope, you know, if you're struggling with the spiritual higher power or relationship with the higher power, just throw everything out the window and just start saying, I'm afraid, I'm turning it over to you. I'm afraid, I'm turning it over to you. Just try that simple prayer. Not, I'm afraid, fix this. I'm afraid, no. I'm afraid, I'm turning it over to you. It's very simple. Start a new habit. All right. Today I'm free, June 22nd. All right. This brought me to the good, healthy realization that there were plenty of situations left in the world over which I had no personal power. That if I was so ready to admit that to be the case of alcohol, so I must make the same admission with respect to much else, I would have to be still and know that he, not I, was God. That he, not I, was God. Yes. I love talking about shit and it's part of the daily reflections. I love talking about stuff I'm going through. I am learning to practice acceptance in all circumstances of my life so that I may enjoy peace of mind. At one time, life was a constant battle because I felt I had to go through each day fighting myself and everyone else. Eventually, this became a losing battle. I ended up getting drunk and crying over my misery. When I began to let go and let God take over my life, I began to have peace of mind. Today, I am free. I do not have to fight anybody or anything anymore. Whew. Take the high road, folks. It's all about the high road. Have a great day.